The terror of appearing before a judgment seat. Mm-hmm. Do you want to appear before a judgment seat in California? It's not of God, but of men. Do you want to appear before a judgment seat? If you drive too fast in California? You got a ticket. You have to appear before a judgment seat. Is it pleasant? But you just have to pay some amount, right? You think it's a pleasant thing to appear before the judgment seat of Christ? What have we done in our lives? Not as an unbeliever, but as a believer. This judgment seat is not for the unbelievers. It is for you and for me, including Paul. Because the unbelievers will be judged before the great white throne of God at the end of the millennial kingdom. But this is before the millennial kingdom. So we need to give an account. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, but Romans chapter 10 speak about the same thing, that we need to give an account to him. Just like in IRS, you need to give an account.
Yes.
Yeah. You keep good account, right? At least you're an accountant.
Yeah.
Right? Otherwise, won't be very pleasant. Judgment seat of Christ. Maybe we have not oftentimes thought about it. So we're not afraid. We're not afraid. You lived a perfect life? No. Done everything that is well pleasing to God? Sam? Paul knew that very well. Even being an apostle, such an apostle. Look at today's pastors. I just looked through a YouTube report concerning the mega churches. They're all collapsing. Do you know why? Not because they didn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You will not land in the lake of fire. You're saved. Free of charge. Not of works, but by faith. That's assure you, you will not land eternally in the lake of fire. You will not perish. But after being a Christian, what is our life? What does it look like? And the collapse of all these churches is not because of the saints and the brothers and sisters, but because of the pastors. Even Paul knew the terror, and he was afraid. You know, if we are not afraid of God's judgment, because we thought we're safe, so what can go wrong with me, right? So when the Lord comes, everybody believes we will be taken up. That's not what the Bible says. If you read carefully, we will be taken up. We always like to use 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 to meet the Lord in the air, right? But Paul did not mention there concerning the judgment seat. He didn't mention that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, but he mentioned it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 5. So don't just use 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You have to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 5. You have to go to Romans chapter 10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And we must all give an account of our life on this earth. As Christians, okay? Not as unbelievers. Whenever I thought of that, I have the fear of God. You will think not only twice, but many times before you do something, because you're going to give an account. You will give an account. Look at the seven churches in the book of Revelation. To most of the seven churches, did the Lord give a wonderful word? To most of the churches, the Lord says, I have something against you. Even just leaving the first love, the best love for the Lord. Do you have the best love for the Lord? Yeah. Of course you love the Lord, right? Also, do we love the Lord? Of course, right? With the best love. So the Lord says, if you don't repent, remember from whence you have fallen. I will remove the lampstand. I once talked to an older brother because he says, we are the church will always be the church. I said, but the Lord said something, the church in Ephesus, if you don't repent, I will remove the lampstand. He didn't believe that. No, the lampstand cannot be removed. I said, well, what should I believe? You or what the Lord says? You may say, as a church, we can just do anything we like. Remember what Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 3, right? Concerning the church, pillar and base of the truth. And if I delay to come to you, that you will you can just do anything you like. Did he say that? That we all know how to behave ourselves in the house of the living God. It's not your house. It's not my house. If I go to your house, I better behave. Right? We cannot do anything according to what we like in the house of God. This is the house of God. Many times we didn't realize it's God's house. Even if I go and visit my son-in-law's house, I need to behave. Because it's not my house. Although it's my daughter's house. I cannot just do anything I like. How much more in God's house? As if God is not there. That's why there's so much quarreling, so much fighting. Everybody has their own opinion. do whatever they like. You remember the Lord? What did he do when he entered into the tent? He made a whip, right?
Yes.
You know, a whip?
Yes.
He chased out those money changers. You're making my house into a marketplace. Like Costco.
Yeah.
Or even worse, a den of thieves. My house, the Lord says, must be called a house of prayer for all nations. So Paul knew the terror of the Lord. That's why he behaved himself.
Yeah.
He tried his best to be pleasing to God in all things. He didn't think, oh, I'm a good apostle, so I don't have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Especially if you're an apostle. Better behave yourself. Because you have to be an example to the flock. The elders, not to rule over the flocks. What did Peter say? To be an example to the flock. It's not a position. Look at this country. Look at the senators. Look at Congress. Look at the governors. Why is the country like this? It's not because of the regular citizens. Look at California. No wonder Trump called him new scum. Why is California like this? Is it because of bad citizens? No. What about Canada?
The mess.
It's a mess. Why?
It's worse.
The Canadians are a mess. No?
Yes, they're brainwashed.
Brainwashed by whom?
Leaders.
The leaders in the media.
You see, what about the church? So may the Lord have mercy on us.
Amen.
If Paul knew the terror of the Lord, how much more we also? Many times, if you want to do something, you better reconsider and say, is that well-pleasing to God? Or I have to give an account one day, right?
Yeah.
Everybody thinks they're going to be raptured. Yeah, of course, you're going to be raptured sooner or later. But even the rapture is either to the throne of God as an overcomer, as a man-child. The woman in Revelation chapter 12 did not get raptured. God prepared a place for her in the wilderness. How come nobody talks about that? Revelation chapter 12, at the very end, after the woman ran and escaped to the wilderness, the beast was so mad because he couldn't touch. I mean, not a beast, the dragon.
Right?
The dragon was so mad, so he went after what the rest of her offspring, those who keep the commandment of God, the Jews, and those who have the testimony of Jesus, they are the Christians. So that means at the time when the dragon came down, there's still the remnant there, the offspring of the woman that are not raptured. And how come Revelation chapter 13 says the beast will go and make war with the saints and overcame them? Now, can you imagine if all the saints are up there before the throne of God, Satan can make war, the beast can make war with them? But he can make war with those who are remaining on this earth and overcame. Nobody got into the details of what the Word of God says. Because of traditional teaching, we all go up there, we'll all be raptured. So what our brother was sharing today is just to remind us that time is very near.
Amen.
John mentioned he already heard about the signs of the times when he was 14. But that was 50 years ago. Right?
Almost.
50 years ago, the signs of time is not so clear like today.
Said when Jerusalem was retaken that the Lord was coming back in
1967. Everybody thought, well, that's a time, but no, not yet. It was just the end of the times of the Gentiles. That's why beginning in 1967 until today, you don't see any good president, prominent leaders of the nations. Yep. At the very end, you have Clinton, you have Obama, you have Biden. There's no more great leaders there. And look at Europe. Merz, you like that Merz there? A horrible person. Look at Brussels, the woman who is the head of EU, the Lion. So corrupt now, it is exposed. So corrupt. Trudeau, right?
He's gone.
But the one who replaced him, is he better?
No,
He's worse. Is it better in Korea? Worse. Nowhere it is good. Nowhere. Look at Macron. Goodness. End of the times of the Gentiles. No more great leaders. Right. What about in Africa? Oh, really? Just as bad. Worse. Goodness. So what are we expecting today? The only solution now in this whole world is the coming of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to rule over the nations. And we, if we are faithful, we are supposed to rule and reign with Christ over the nations. But are we qualified? Are you prepared? Suppose Osi, God told you, Osi rule over Nigeria. Can you do it? Are you qualified? All those people would jump on you, I tell you. They will try to get rid of you. You won't even stand it for 1 month or 1 week. That's why the Lord is training us today to live Christ, to gain Christ, to let Him not only be our life, to rule over you, to rule over me in our daily life. If I do not let Christ rule over me today, how can I rule with Him over the nations, according to Revelation chapter 5, verse 10? He has redeemed us to make us kings and priests, and we shall rule with Him on the earth, not in heaven. You're not going to rule over the angels. The angels don't need you to rule over them. They are our ministers. They are our servants to serve us. Easily, we all like to rule over the nations, right? I try to rule over Lagos, just one city. Your wife will tell you, no, let's stay in Canada. Try to rule over Los Angeles. Go to Los Angeles. Why are you moving to California? Is it better than Germany?
It's better.
When I heard, oh, they're moving over here, I said, why? No, we're waiting for the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, to come. And remember, when He comes in Revelation chapter 19, He's not coming by Himself. We will be His army to come down with Him on white horses. But you have to be up there first, and then coming down with Him. We need to be qualified.
Amen.
You think to be a co-king with Christ is simple and easy, just as we are. As we are for salvation, yes, because you cannot save yourself. Christ accomplished redemption for us. Right. Otherwise, you cannot pay the price. He paid the ransom to save you. Yeah. So you don't have to do anything for salvation. Redemption by faith. Paul says, not by works. But what is the word to the seven churches of sin? By faith? To him who believes. To him who tries his best. To him who overcomes. In the gospel, it is to him who believe, shall not perish but have eternal life. This is why Christians emphasize, by faith, now you're saved. Okay, no more trouble. But then, the seven churches, they all have trouble. The Lord says, to him who overcomes. It's very different than just believing.
Amen.
To him who overcomes. And this is why our brother is sharing concerning the signs of the times, not just to let us know, not even just to have an attitude, oh yeah, he's coming, I believe he's coming. No, but to have the fear of the Lord. What happens when he comes? Are you ready for him? He's coming as a judge about that. And we all have to appear before a judgment seat. You like to appear before a judgment seat? This is why it's good today. Tell the Lord, Lord, judge me now.
Amen.
Not late. Because there is time and grace to repent now. So I would rather be judged now, Lord. Expose me. This is why the Lord is telling the seven churches the truth, so that I can repent. Otherwise, they'll have to face the judgment seat of Christ. To know that the Lord is coming, everybody believes, all Christians, even if you look at the YouTube, everybody's talking about, oh, the Lord is coming, the Lord is coming, and everybody says, oh, we will all go up, right? I think a lot of people will be surprised. So Paul says, knowing the terror of the Lord.
Amen.
That's why his aim is to be well pleasing to the Lord in all things.
Amen.
On this earth, in this life, now. And Peter said the same thing. Knowing the Lord is coming, what manner of conduct we should have in all godliness and holiness. Because the Lord is coming as a judge. And in the book of Revelation, the last chapter, what did the Lord say about his coming? Behold, I'm coming quickly. So praise the Lord, no problem. Did he say that? To reward everyone according to their works, whether it is good or evil. So, what kind of reward do you think you will receive? What kind of reward are you expecting? Or am I expecting? What reward are you expecting? Reading those verses should cause us to have the proper godly fear. It's a healthy godly fear.
Amen.
Because if you have no fear, you're free to do anything you like. Like the children, they have no fear, right? Why do you drive so orderly? Because you're afraid. Not only of accident, but if you drive too fast, you're going to pay for it. That's why everybody is looking at a mirror and watching if there is any any cop.
Yeah.
So to know all these signs is to help us to prepare with the fear of the Lord, as a godly, healthy fear. Doesn't mean, oh, we're nervous all the time, no. But it's a healthy fear.
Right.
Healthy fear. To serve the Lord, Hebrews chapter 12 says, acceptable with reverence and godly fear. These three things. Don't think God accepts everything. So we have to serve him acceptably and with reverence. That means you cannot just do anything. And then with godly fear. Then what is the last verse in chapter 12? Because our God is a God of love.
Consuming fire.
Is it what?
Consuming fire.
Not for the believers, Sophia. Not for you. It's for the unbelievers. No, it is for those who are serving God. Acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. You don't serve it like that. It's a consuming fire. You'll be consumed. But nobody tells you that. Although it's written so clearly. So we should know how to behave in the house of the living God. As children of God. Right?
Amen.
Is Ifan done? Ifan, what do you do with your children? Just let them do whatever they like? What if they don't behave? A punishment? What about the children of God if they don't behave? Think about this. This is not doctrine, right? It's not doctrine. I don't like to talk about doctrine. But it should be our Christian life.
Amen.
Every one of us is directly responsible to God our Father. It says each one should give an account. I cannot blame Sam Wong. I'm like this because Sam Wong didn't help me, did not rebuke me, just let me do whatever I wanted. Why, Sam Wong, the Lord will tell me, am I not dwelling in you? Wasn't it written, the anointing dwelling in you will teach you all things? You don't need any teacher? Oh, no, I don't need teachers. Why? Because the anointing will teach you all things. And it's no lie.
Yeah.
So why do we need other teachers? If the Lord is dwelling in us, First John chapter 2, even about the beast, about the Antichrist, John wrote then and says, you don't need anyone to teach you because you know all things. You know all things, my goodness. Nene, do you know all things? If you listen to the anointing, yes, you will know all things because the anointing will teach you. That is why in the New Covenant it says, and they shall all know me from the least to the greatest, from the youngest to the oldest. Wonderful. So if we learn to pay attention to the indwelling Holy Spirit indwelling in us, think about it. What is the reason why he is living in you? teaching you, giving his life. What if you don't listen to him? Do you listen to him every day? In everything? All the time? No. Then how can he change you? Our Lord will never force you. From the very beginning, in the Garden of Eden, God has created man with a free will. Right, Moses? If you are God and you see Adam and Eve approaching that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the serpent is there, what are you going to do?
Remove the tree.
Oh, that's even a better idea. Remove the tree, then there won't be any problem. Why didn't God think about that? You see, are we wiser than God? No. Because God gave man a free will. He already warns them. They already knew. Yeah, a free will. God will never force you. Even if you're a son of God, a Christian. You still have a choice. Just like Adam and Eve, we have a choice. Right? This is why God has given us a spirit of power to help our will. Spirit of love to control our emotion, and a spirit of a sound mind to renew our mind for the transformation of our soul. So the signs of the times are for the warning. But if you're not afraid and you don't care, then the signs are worthless. It's not just to let you know the Lord is coming soon. It is your reaction. What are you going to do? Everybody read, for example, the 10 virgins. You know about the 10 virgins in Matthew 25. It's a very well-known parable. Right? So you have a choice. You're going to be a wise one or a foolish one. You have a choice. The wise one will prepare the oil now. The foolish ones. Yeah, they only have enough oil in the spirit because it's a free portion. Just like when you buy a car, the first tank is free. But after that, it's not free anymore. You have to pay. The foolish ones, while they are living on this earth, they are just enjoying life. They didn't pay the price to buy the oil. Right? The church in Chuncheon last week, they asked me a question. What does it mean? Well, the Lord told the church in Laodicea, buy from me. Buy? You need to buy from the Lord gold and buy oil, anointing oil, and buy white garment. You need to pay? Buy? I said the Lord will give it to you free in a minute. They thought they're rich. So their question is, buy? How do you buy? How do you pay? Dollars? One? Canadian dollars? Euros? What is the price?
Also, life.
The Lord said, if anyone follows me, not believe in me, okay? If anyone follows me, Matthew 16, let him deny himself. Pick up the cross, his own cross, and follow me. You always have a choice to do his will or do what you like. The price is deny your soul life, yourself. So who died on the cross? James. Christ died on the cross. Wrong. Because you also died with him. So if it's just Christ who died and you're still alive, that's not good. Paul says, Christ was crucified for me. Is that all that he said? Is I have been crucified with Christ. If only he is crucified and you're still very much alive, loving the world, is it good? So who died?
I died.
With Christ. With that's the price to pay. Are we willing to say no to ourselves, to pay the price to gain Christ? So praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'm glad they asked that question. The Lord is selling gold, refined through fire, white garments, and the nice salve, the anointing one. Amazing. So if we want to make it, then you know where to buy, right? And what to buy. Okay?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's good. Let's have some prayers.
Amen.